Fugitive. A QM production. Starring David Janssen as Dr. Richard Kimball, an innocent victim of blind justice, falsely convicted for the murder of his wife.
On KSAB. I'll tell you, the way things have gone for me this week, I feel like an innocent victim of myself, and it isn't blind justice either. But that's a story for a different day and time, because we talk ancient history here. 40 years ago is the newest we talk to. Anyway, if you want to be on the program tonight, 800-407-KSAV, at least hopefully, and having little difficulties with that. The email address during the show is talk@ksav.org. All right, the hosts, the plural, are all here, fired up, ready to talk fugitive. And, you know, I'm tired of this Bobby Neer all the time.
Oh,
it is, yeah, you know, it seems to be a consensus. So let's start off with Kitty. You take over tonight.
Okay, no problem. Well, the episode that we're going to talk about tonight is called Angels Travel Lonely Roads. And we actually got an email from a gentleman who resides somewhere in South America. His name is Victor, and he wrote, "This is one of my favorite episodes since I watched it for the first time when I was a boy, and after all these years, it is still a wonderful episode." He lives, I guess, in Lima, Peru. So thank you, Victor, for sending that to us. And I would have to agree, I find this episode a fairly enjoyable episode, too. It's kind of a unique episode in that it kind of veers away from the normal formula that we usually have. You don't ever see, at least up until this point, and even after this point, I mean, we're well into season three on our board, and we've never really seen Richard Kimball's spiritual side come out, or even find out if he has much of one. And in this episode, you actually do kind of get that impression that maybe Richard Kimball does have a little bit of a spiritual side, and he ends up running into a nun who is a dilapidated car, to California, and he's in need of a ride, and so the two of them end up together, and she just happens to be the first person he comes up, and so they start embarking on this journey, and we find out that this nun who's on her way to California, she didn't plan this trip very well because she didn't have a lot of money on her. And so she and Richard Kimball kind of have to wing it as far as money goes. But her faith never wavers. She always says things like, "God will show us the way." And along the way, I guess you could say God does show them a bit of a way, because he does end up getting some money because he helps a man unload some stuff off of his truck, although this guy, as we will later find out, is a very slimy kind of guy. But overall, I did like this episode fairly well. They do end up spending the night in a motel, and the one thing about Sister Veronica, though, is that she seems a little vague about some things. Some gentlemen come up and wish her to lead them in prayer, and she won't do it, which is very odd. She just refuses to do it. She gives money to them to take the bus to go down to the church. And I remember as I watched it, I thought, well, how difficult is it to lead someone in the Lord's Prayer? You don't even have to be a nun to do that. You can just be a lay person and do that. But she sends them away, and we then find out that it's because she wants to be released from her vows. And that's pretty much how the end of part one goes, where we find out that she is on this journey to be released from her vows. Ken, what did you think of this episode?
I like the episode. It should have just been part one only, actually just one episode. I don't know why they dragged it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it could have, you know, they could have hit on all the stuff with just one episode. I mean, this is a two-part episode that really, you know, when you get right down to it, probably didn't need to be two parts.
Right. I wish they had done Escape into Black two parts, and also another one, Wife Killer, if they had done two parts on that one. But anyway, it's a good season one episode. Kind of lightened up, you know, what we were watching before that. We saw Bloodline with some dogs, which was a mess. And then they had some other duds in season one. But when this one came up, it was interesting. You know, the opening scenes, you have Richard Kimball walking on the road, and he's got a jacket on. I believe he has a tie. I'm looking at the screen.
Yes, that is the one thing. Richard Kimball is probably the only hitchhiker in America who hitchhikes with a suit and tie on.
And he walks, and he meets her. And I'll have to say that, you know, when I watch episodes, I'm always looking at the guest stars and see how they do in their role. And Eileen
Heckert
did an absolutely phenomenal job as a sister, you know. She wasn't too much. She wasn't too sappy like some of the other women and even some guys that we've seen, or they're over-dramatic. She just played her part just right. She had to wear that, you know, nun outfit throughout the whole thing. She's got some dirt on her. She's looking at the truck, and then Richard Kimball comes up, you know, and then the story goes on from there. You know, Kimball's a handyman, isn't he? He can do anything, right? He's a doctor.
Oh, yeah, he's a regular jack-of-all-trades kind of guy.
Well, he had that job in the gas station, I remember, on your last show, so
yes.
Maybe that's how he learned how to do it.
But the one thing I do like is, you know, we get a story here. You know, a lot of the episodes, kind of like all over the map, too many characters. But this one focused on these two. They get into the truck, start talking, and then I guess toward the end of part one, we do find out that the sister is a fugitive, you know, from her church. She has some problems.
Yeah, and what it is we find out is that she wants to be let go of her vows because she feels like she let someone down. There was a troubled boy, and she would always let him in, and she'd always talk to him, and I think she said he had a drinking problem. And then one night she finally decided to enact some tough love on him and wouldn't let him in, and so then he left, and he got into worse trouble. He ended up killing someone, and she said that he was executed for it, like the week before. And so you kind of have this interesting paradox with, you know, Richard Kimball being this innocent guy who's been convicted of murder and is supposed to go to death row. And then here, she's feeling very bad about somebody who, by all accounts, it sounds like he really did kill somebody and, you know, and was executed for it. I never really quite understood why she felt like she had to give up her vows for that, you know, because it sounds like she did from the way she was talking to Kimball about it, it sounds like she did everything she could do for this kid, and the kid still chose to be this total loser in the world. I mean, you know, you can only do so much.
You know, if you think about it, Kitty, this in all the whole 4 years of all the episodes, you know, they produced 120 of them, I believe this is the only religious aspect that we really get on a storyline.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. You know, that's why I said that I thought this was a rather unique episode, because I don't think we see any other episode where his spiritual side is explored.
Right. And the writers, they didn't go deeper. They just kind of kept it on the surface. Kimball did make a couple of references. I think he quoted a Bible verse. But it would have been interesting to see the sister ask Richard, you know, what's your religious experience or anything? And it would have been interesting to see what Richard.
Yeah, we really don't know what religion he was. I mean, he never really says whether or not he ever actually went to any kind of church in this episode. It might have been a little more interesting to find out if Richard had any real church-going background. Bob, do you remember if he ever, if that was ever given up in this episode at all?
No, not really. Well, I hope I don't go to hell for this, but this is not actually one of my favorite episodes.
Well, I knew that. You told me that back when we reviewed it.
It's okay. There are some good themes in it. But it strikes me as being one of those concept episodes where somebody decided, you have Richard Kimball as a fugitive. Wouldn't it be interesting if he met a nun who also was running from something, too? And they got together and they learned something from each other. It's all very cute, but I don't think it makes the most compelling story in the world.
Well, and I think Ken brought up a good point that this was one of those episodes. They drug it out into two parts, but it probably didn't need to be two parts.
Right. Well, the best part about this story, obviously, is Eileen Heckert. I mean, she was one of the best actresses of her generation, and Tony Award-winning actress, and many movies and TV shows. Great career, and she's the kind of actress who could step into a role like this and take it over. She's the best thing about the story. She makes it palatable to me. I get more out of watching her than I do watching what is going on. Yeah, the worst part about it is that it's way, way, way too long, and there's too much padding in the story, and it all comes in the first part, because all they're doing is wasting a lot of time to get to the most important parts, which are all in part two. I don't really, that does not appeal to me. I also have to question the character of Sister Veronica. She's not really, she's not lost any faith in God. That's not what the story is about. She's lost faith in herself, which is kind of odd because it's a little bit at odds with how she's portrayed early in part one. She seems incredibly self-assured, positive everything is going to work out. She's going to make it across the mountains in this horrible car. Richard Kimball has been sent to her by God. Everything is going to be great, and yet she can't handle other aspects of her life. So it's a little strange to me. She doesn't seem like the type that would have that kind of problem. And then when we get to the end of part one, she tells this long, convoluted story about this young Indian boy who was had alcohol problems and was involved in petty crimes. And she tried to help him, and then one day, you need to mention the fact that the real issue about that story is that she helped him through everything, and he came to her often, but that she finally decided that he was leaning on her too much, and that he would never be able to live his life on his own. So when he came to her one day, she simply refused to answer the door. She simply said, you know, she kicked him out of the nest, so to speak. And so he said, you have to live on your own, you can't keep coming to me. And that led him to, I believe, I didn't even tell, she tells Kimball that he got executed, but she doesn't tell him why. I don't know what he did. If I remember correctly, she never, did he kill somebody? What did he do?
I was under the impression he had killed someone.
No, she doesn't really say that. And so this causes her to question whether she's really doing anybody any good. That seems strange to me. Because, a nun or anybody who is in a position of handing out advice to troubled people certainly is going to realize that it doesn't always work, that sometimes you win that and sometimes you lose. Some people you help, some people, you know, if they're drug addicts and you send them away, they just go and kill themselves with it. You can't save everybody. So it just seems strange to me that she just absolutely went to pieces over this one thing. She surely must have had other times in her work as a nun in which she tried to help somebody who could not be helped. So I found that a little bit odd, too. There are good parts. There are good parts of the story. There's really nothing wrong with it, but you know, when I watch fugitive episodes, I always rate them by whether I want to see them again. And this is one of those that I don't go back and watch because
right.
I've seen it. I know the story, and it's just a little too much. I think it would have been a better story if there had been a backstory about Kimball losing his faith in God, having been on the run for so long. Because you know they did a little bit of that in the 2001 version of The Fugitive. There was a scene there with Kimball talking to a priest and questioning why his wife had to be murdered and why she had to suffer.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick time out, and then you know hopefully we're going to get into the meaty part here with the guy braining him with the rock, and you know we get down to all that important stuff. You stick around. We'll be back for part two of the program, which is covering both parts one and two of the original program. You know what I'm talking about. Stick around. Real quick break. We'll be back on Retro Radio. Many times in this program is what a lousy lawyer Richard Kimball had. I believe, Kitty, you were working on disbarring the guy or something, weren't you? Anyway, that's going to be the subject on Talking Television with Dave White tonight. It's going to be lawyer shows, the good, the bad, and the ugly, paper chase, and anyway, we'll see if we can work that in. All right, let's get back to, what is this, Angels with Dirty Faces? What? No, that was Jimmy Cagney.
Angels Travel Lonely Roads.
And this time, I haven't heard Bobby be this quiet. I didn't think you stopped talking this long to sleep at night, Bob.
A much better show.
Let's go back and give him a chance to fill in. So, Bob, you go ahead.
A much better show. 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be back, of course, and we'll do another season one episode. You know, I often refer to The Fugitive as a very basic story, just a cat-and-mouse story. And in Season 1, there's a real cat-and-mouse story, and it's called The End Game. It's actually the last episode of Season 1, although we still have another episode to cover of Season 1 later on in April. In this particular episode, Kimball is trapped in a city, and Gerard is on his back, and he's tightening the noose little by little by little, and it's almost impossible for Kimball to get away. It's a good story. One of the best of Season 1. I know Ken gave it a 10.
Oh, I love that one. Yeah, the end game.
Yeah, we'll discuss that in 2 weeks. Tonight, though, unfortunately, Angels Travel on Lonely Roads, and it is on Lonely Roads. It's not finished yet. They decided to do a part two, which I think is very regrettable, because this would have been a much better story if it was just one story.
Yeah.
There's no reason to drag this out into two stories. Stop this nonsense. Part one, and this is one of the reasons why I'm irritated by the story. I've met Sister Veronica, fine, I get the basic story, and by the time I get to part two, I'm already so irritated, I'm wondering when it's going to end already. So this is one of the things that bothers me. However, I thought part two was a much better part, because whenever you have a two-part story that shouldn't have been that way, they always backload it on the second part. In other words, it's all padding in the first part. So part two, I think, is a better story. I gave it a higher rating than I did part one. It starts out with one of my favorite scenes, not only of this particular episode, but of the entire series, and that is where Kimball and Sister Veronica are traveling in that beat-up truck, having gotten it started again, and they come upon two motorcycle creeps who decide to cause some trouble. This is the kind of scene we've seen in many, many stories over and over and over again, but I really, really like it here. And it's interesting to note that last year, not long ago, we did several shows on Landscape with Running Figures, and there was a lot of controversy about a scene in which Marie Gerard and Kimball are terrorized by a group, this time three of them. And I know Ken said he didn't particularly like it, and Kitty didn't particularly like it, but I did. And actually, it was done first in Season 1 in this episode, and I think a lot better.
Well, and I think that maybe that's part of the reason why I didn't care for it in that episode, was because we'd already seen it in this episode, and it was a more interesting scene.
And what, the best part about this particular scene, of course, is Eileen Heckard, who, you know, you've got two guys who are threatening Richard Kimmel. One picks up a stick, the other picks up a rock, and they're both circling around him. And he's, even though we know Kimball can fight, it seems unlikely he's going to be able to take on two guys at one time who have weapons in their hands. And, of course, Sister Veronica gets out of the truck and comes over and just does a wonderful job in turning them into jelly. And they just crumble right in front of her. The dialogue here is great. I mean, she really levels them, telling them exactly what they are, finally saying to them, get on those overgrown bicycles and get out of here. And at one point, she hauls off and she slaps one of them. But if you watch this scene, you know, I mean, usually when you watch a story and one character slaps another, just a little slap across the face there. She actually hauls off and slaps him. She starts from about 2 feet away, like a five fighter. And she just lets him have it. And it's just great. So this is really my favorite scene in this, in part two. Yeah, it's cliched. We've seen it all before. But she really makes this work. And that's what I like. But this, again, brings up the same thing I said. I mean, this woman, this nun, should not be having any problems with believing that she can't change anybody's life, because all during this story, that's all she keeps on doing over and over again. She seems supremely confident. She's not scared of these guys. She's not scared of anybody. And yet, you know, this one incident in her life has caused her to just go completely to pieces. So that's one of the problems I have with this. So, Kitty, what do you think? You did like this particular scene better than the one in Landscape.
Oh, yeah, I did, because, you know, not only does she hit the guys, but, you know, she really gives them a piece of her mind.
Oh, yeah.
She basically tells them what they are. You know, she basically says, you're a couple of losers. You're afraid to live your lives, so you go around and you hide on, you know, you run away by riding on your motorcycles and try to act all tough. I mean, she really, you know, told them what they were. And you really have to think to yourself, I wonder if these, you know, it actually made me think that these two guys probably went to Catholic school when they were kids, and this was being on the motorcycles was maybe their way of rebellion. And then this woman just kind of cut them down to size to being those little kids at the Catholic school again. But yeah, I liked it. You know, I think it was certainly one of the better parts of the episode, because after they leave here, Kimball ends up at this mountain lodge run by a widow who sees Kimball for 30 minutes and offers him to stay with her. She wants him to settle down with her. You know, if you ran into the other cliches of women who see Kimball and they're ready to, you know, settle down with him and bear his children after, you know, 10 minutes or so.
Well, you know what? You should let Ken discuss that, because in his review in our season one book, The Fugitive User Reviews, he did not like that scene, and I believe, Ken, you were angry that Kimball decided not to stay with her.
It was a teaser scene for me, if you know what I mean. They're talking in the barn. Janet, she's pretty, she's lonely, she's got the bully, you know, in the other place, you know, making a lot of noise, even punching Kimball and all that. And so in one sense, I kind of felt sorry for her. But you're right, Kitty, she just got swept off her feet when she laid eyes on Kimball.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's like, if she's lonely and she's unhappy, and obviously she can't stand her loser brother-in-law,
yeah,
Chuck, who's making trouble for everybody, I mean, it's like, why doesn't she just do the logical thing? She says that, well, this place, this was my husband's dream. Well, you know, hubby isn't there anymore. He died. So it's called, put the place up for sale, go back to the city, and make a new life for yourself, and get away from this loser brother-in-law of yours. I mean, it's,
right, okay,
you know, it's like, it's not that hard to do, and I'm kind of surprised that Kimball didn't say something to that effect, where he's like, you know, if you're that
right,
you know, if you're that unhappy, Janet, why are you staying around here? You know, just leave.
See, that's what upset me, when the you know, the series has done this before to me. We remember the second episode, you had a pretty, pretty woman that Kimbo could have hooked up with, and they did nothing with that story. They just focused on that dumb little girl. And now you have another, you know, very attractive woman, and they do nothing with the scene. They just talk for a couple minutes. Kimbo says, oh, I'm going to keep hitting the road and get out. And I was frustrated by that, Bob. But I, you know, as far as the other scene I like, remember when Sister Veronica was watching TV?
Oh, yes, and she sees Kimball's picture on TV.
Sees the picture, that famous picture, Kimball wanted fugitive. I thought that was one of my favorite parts in part two.
And one of the better moments, too, was also when a policeman came, and Sister Veronica was sitting there, and then all of a sudden she said, oh, officer, wait. And you think that she's going to tell him that, you know, that Kimball is there, but instead she says, here, you forgot your candy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was a nice little intense moment, because you're not really sure what she's going to do.
Well, again, I mean, so we go through this entire two-part story, only to get to the end of it and find out that, predictably, we're not surprised to find out that Sister Veronica decides not to renounce her vows after all. I'm not sure exactly why she decides not to do it, because all during the episode and their little trip across the mountains, she should have seen that she does indeed have an impact on other people. In fact, Kimball keeps reminding her of that. He keeps telling her, but you do. But it's obvious that you do have an impact, and people who meet you are changed in some way. I don't know why she didn't see that at the beginning. So I just find it a little bit phony,
yeah.
Because I think it was pretty obvious that she didn't really have that many problems. But like I said, the story is really not bad. It does have some good moments. There's also, you should mention in part two, there's a great fight scene between Kimball and Chuck Mathers, the bad guy in the story. And this is a really good fight scene. I mean, I like this fight scene. It's very realistic. So Kimball, you know,
and it's actually Janet who ends up breaking it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kimball can fight, but he fights, I think he fights better in this scene than we see him in a lot of, I mean, he really lets him out.
But, you know, I'll take this kind of a story and this kind of an episode any day over the Homecoming and Garden House and Storm Center.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, you have to give this episode just a little credit, you know.
Okay,
one
minute.
Okay, I gave, in my rating, I gave part one a 6, which was slightly above average. And I upped it to 7 for part two, because 7 is more exciting. It's got more things in it than the first part does. And I know that Kitty gave both of them an 8, and Ken gave part one an 8 and part two a 7. In fact, Ken, you said that part two you found a little bit boring, but I saw it the other way around. So I agree. It's really, it's not one I dislike. It's just, it's kind of somewhere in the middle. Usually the episodes are like that. There are classic stories, then there are ones that are just okay, and then there are ones that are really horrible.
Yeah.
So this falls somewhere in the middle for me. Best part about it, like I said, is Eileen Heckard, one of the great actresses of all time. She's not around anymore, but, you know, she was just great. By the way, I think this performance by her is the second best performance by an actress in season one. I would take Nancy Wickwire in Nightmare at Northrop as being the number one by an actress, but this one is right behind that. So this is the entire series one of those.
All right. Well, I thank you. Another excellent discussion. You guys will all be back in 2 short weeks to carry on the tradition. For everybody else, in 1 hour, talking television with Dave White and famous American lawyers, at least television lawyers. So join in the discussion. And until then, well, you can stay tuned, listen to Getting to Know You and Perfectly Frank. Spend the evening here with KSAV, Sherevision Radio. Running on empty, running on